Health and Fitness with David Hollywood, with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, midlandsparkhotel.com.
Midlands 103.
Hello and thanks for joining me. On the programme this week, runners from across the Midlands are coming together through the summer. You'll find out why very shortly. You'll hear about breakthrough research about long COVID brain fog. And the Midlands is celebrating the crowning of an All-Ireland champion dancer. Her teacher returns to Health and Fitness to talk about national success for the Leinster School of Dance. The Healthy Offaly 5K Road Race Series is hosted by 8 clubs across the county, while the Buildmore Offaly Endurance Series promises to be a special collection of races from May through to the end of the summer in August. To help me work through all the details so that you at home know what's on offer as we emerge from our hibernation into the running season, I'm joined by Dermot Egan from Healthy Offaly and Mairead Scally from Naveware Athletics Club in Dangan. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, David.
Thanks very much, David.
Not at all. Mairead, I'll start with yourself. This time of year, it's great for runners. The weather starts improving and I've noticed it myself. A lot more people turn up for training and people are in great form because there's tons of races on.
Yeah, and there's been a great buzz in most of the Offaly clubs for the last number of weeks because they've been taking part in Couch to 5K. So there's been kind of high attendance in the clubs. So it's all kind of building up to this race series this time of year, where I know my calendar at home is pencil marked with all the dates of all the races that I'll be kept busy during March right through to August. So there's something going on kind of every month and nearly every couple of weeks.
I've noticed that myself, just even with the Tullamore Harriers, that between club races and the 5K road race series, and then if you take anything else outside of that, you need a calendar, don't you?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Dermot, let's have a look at the 5K road race series sponsored by or supported by Healthy Offaly. Tell us why Healthy Offaly are supporting this year's road race series.
Yes, David. I suppose Healthy Offaly and the work we do is very much, it's all about health and well-being. And increasing health and well-being. We have two main thematic areas we're working on in the county. We're trying to increase physical activity levels among the population and we're trying to decrease levels of obesity. So my own feeling and my own background is in running, and I always think, what better way to do that, to increase physical activity and reduce instances of obesity, is to get people running and running and fast walking. You couldn't do anything better, really, for your health. We recognise that Offaly Athletics are working on the coalface for years with getting people from Couch to 5K to running races and running 5Ks, running and walking. So it's really a no-brainer for us. We're delighted to be partnering with Offaly Athletics, and I think it's a real win-win situation.
You touched on something there that's very interesting. There's extensive coverage of the question and issue of obesity across Europe, not even just in Ireland. And a large part of that is put down to, there's various reasons, obviously nutrition is one of them, but sedentary lifestyle has become a big issue in our lives as technology has accommodated our desire to sit around. And conversely, then the reaction to that seems to be that participation at running clubs and athletics clubs is on the rise to some degree, and events like this can really help spur people on away from that sedentary lifestyle.
Absolutely, David. It's critical now more than ever for people in the lifestyles we lead. So we spend a lot of our time sitting in the car, we're sitting at our desk in an office, possibly it's just, we're sitting down in the evenings, there's so much time spent. It's really important to get out there and get active, and by joining an athletic club or a running group, it really will encourage you to get out there, because the socialisation aspect of it as well and meeting people is really important, and that's going to encourage you to get out there. So we would really be looking at initiatives to get people to get out there and just basically get active.
Speaking of which, then, are you going to be partaking in this road race series yourself?
I am indeed, for my sins.
Ah, good stuff. How's preparations going then?
Not so well. I find some of the training difficult. I'm not particularly fast, but I always like to give it a go anyway.
Yeah, look, specific training can be really tricky when it comes to certain races. What about yourself, Mairead, in terms of preparing for this 5K road race series? How are you feeling ahead of it?
I'm looking forward to it now. It's nice to have kind of that bit of routine and structure for the few months ahead. And I know last year was my first year kind of taking part in the endurance series with the longer races, which I found really, really tough. So yeah. I've trained hard over the winter. Our trainer, Brendan, says winter miles bring summer smiles. So I'm going to hold him to that now.
I like that.
Hopefully it's going to go well.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. And of course, your club is part of this series. So you might give us an insight into what goes on at club level when you get to host what is presumably from a club's perspective, one of the biggest events of the year.
Yeah, like it's all of the clubs, to be fair, are absolutely fantastic and really have this down to a T at how they do this and how well they're hosted. Like for them all, there's team members kind of volunteering on the day in terms of registration, and it's all kind of formalised with chip timing. There's the race itself, and there's loads of marshals on the route and really well organised. Last year in Dangan, we had people out filling potholes on the day so people wouldn't be tripping up on the route. That's the dedication to the
cause.
Fair
play, fantastic.
And then afterwards at all the races, there's always a fantastic spread of refreshments and the chat and the crack afterwards and the
post-race
analysis.
I'm going to stop you on the refreshments. They're famous across the county, aren't they, in terms of which clubs put on what spreads and that type of thing. It's serious business.
Yeah, very serious.
But there's no better earned experience, Dermot, is there, than a nice treat after not only just the race, but the training that you put in beforehand and that type of thing.
It really is. It's fast becoming the most important aspect of it, David. Really, the people coming together to have the chat, to talk about how the race went, the cup of tea, the bun, the sandwich. It's really essential. And with all the clubs now trying to outdo each other on the spread afterwards, it's become a real competitive edge in itself, and that's fantastic fun.
Yeah, no better collection of clubs to get competitive about this stuff from what I've experienced. Let's talk about the series itself. If people listening like the sound of it and they want to get involved, there's 8 events, 8 clubs, and they can sign up for the whole series, Mairead.
Yes, so you sign up for each race individually. So we have the first race kicking off on the 10th of March. Nice Mother's Day prize for any Mother's Day gift for any mothers out there. So that's in Tullamore. And then there's ones kind of dotted through. We have one the 7th of April in Banagher, the 21st of April in Clara, the 12th of May in Forban, the 31st of May in Ballyshkenock, the 14th of June in Naevwara, my own club, the 15th of July in Road, and then the 2nd of August in Birr.
Okay, and there's tiered pricing as far as I'm aware. We've got 13 quid for a senior or an adult, as it were. Junior and juveniles are €8. And there's plenty of age grades to compete in as well in terms of the prizes.
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity because there are so many age categories. There's kind of a lot of prizes to be given out. And for people like me, who I'd class myself as a very average runner, I don't feel like I'd ever win my age category. You run as part of a team for your club. So that's fantastic. And that kind of brings on the average runners like me. And I got a couple of medals last year running with the club as part of the team. So I think it's magic the way they have it set up.
And then that's just a participation game. You know, the more people from the club throw on the singlet and get out for the events, the better the chance the club has of winning then.
Yes, because the more points your club scores if you're getting more people up higher in the rankings.
That's great. Dermot, speak to us about we're alluding to it, you know, the bun and the tea afterwards and the chats, but the general atmosphere at these races over the course of the summer. People kind of really get to know each other over the course of time as well, don't they?
Absolutely. I've made so many friends just taking part in for the last couple of years, even in other clubs, David. So it really is. It's such a friendly atmosphere. There's always a bit of music on the go. It whips the crowd up in advance. There's great support along the route in the towns and in the countryside where the races are taking place. Friends and family come along to cheer on the runners. It's the most fantastic buzz you could really have. And of course, in the spring and summer months, the weather tends to be nice, not always, but tends to be nice. So it's really conducive to getting people out and to give the runners a cheer.
The first event, as we said there, is coming up on the 10th of March, the Tullamore Harriers. That one, in terms of numbers, Mairead, as we kind of finish up talking about the Healthy Offaly Road Race Series, it's a big race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually quite well attended and very well organised, and it's nice because it finishes on the Harriers track, so there's kind of a nice bit of an atmosphere running in around the track. So there's 8 races in total, and the goal is to run a minimum of 5 for your points to count towards the full series.
Okay, that's good to know actually for those who might be signing up to the first one or maybe can't make the first one but want to know just what it is they need to do to be really involved. The rest of the road race series, finally, any highlights or key points or interesting aspects, unique aspects to any of the races that come to mind that you think are worth highlighting, or anything you experienced that you remember?
I think there's just a fantastic atmosphere, and I suppose they usually finish up with the 5K in Birr on the August Bank Holiday weekend, and I think that's where a lot of the clubs will kind of have a good social side to it afterwards. Like, I know in Naveware we usually get a bus over to Birr, kind of everybody has the crack on the bus going over, we do our race and stop on the way home for a few social drinks.
Well, you can't say fairer than that. That sounds pretty excellent. That is the Healthy Offaly Road Race Series 2024. It is getting underway next weekend, March 10th at the Tullamore Harriers. Then it's going to Banagher, Clara, Forbann, Ballyshkenock, Naveware in Dangan, Road, and finishing up in Birr, as Mairead was saying. And when we return, we'll be talking about the Buildmore Offaly Endurance Series. This is a really special collection of events. There's a lot of stuff in it and a lot to get into. Stay with us on Health and Fitness.
Health and Fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club. With fitness classes to suit everyone, experience the warmth at 30 degrees in our dedicated spin studio. Discover all this and more on MidlandsParkHotel.com. Midlands
103. This evening I am joined by Mairead Scally from Naveware Athletics Club in Dangan, and Dermot Egan from Healthy Offaly. And Dermot, you're also a member of Forbann Athletics Club as well. We are now talking about the Buildmore Offaly Endurance Series, and this is a little bit more up your street, Dermot, in terms of the kind of trip we're talking about.
Absolutely, David. I suppose a middle distance runner, a middle to long distance. I do enjoy anything from 10K on. I do find the 5Ks a little quick. That's not to say I don't participate, because I do, and I love them, and I love the refreshments and the goodies after. It's great, always a great buzz, but the longer distances are more my forte anyway. I find them easier.
What is it? Okay, so you find them easier. That's one aspect of it, more suited to whatever the physiology is. You enjoy them more that way. Is there anything else about them that you do enjoy?
I think it's the culmination and the way they're set up, where the shorter distances are first, the Ashley Murphy 4 mile, the Jack Cox 10K in Kilcormac, the Eden Derry 10 mile, and then the Tullamore half marathon. It has a real World Cup final feel about it. You've progressed along the stages, and then you've come to the final, usually on a nice August morning in Tullamore, with the whole buzz and razzmatazz that the Harriers are able to put on it, and it's absolutely fantastic. There's something special about the atmosphere that day, and people have cut their holidays short to get back, or taking their holidays after to be around for the Quinlan Cup and the Tullamore Harriers half marathon.
We'll get on to the half marathon shortly as well. Mairead, I wanted to get your perspective on long distance running. You alluded to in our first half of the chat before the break that you had taken on the endurance series last year, and it's a different type of training, it's a different type of racing. How did you find it on reflection? What are the aspects of it that you noted are different to the 5Ks that you liked about it?
While I found it tough training for it, I did enjoy it. And looking back, it's kind of a different type of running. When you go to do a 5K, if you're running it serious to try get a personal best time, if you do a bad first kilometre, there's no coming back from that.
It's a great point, actually. Yeah, the pressure's on in that respect.
Yeah. Whereas if you're out there to do 10 miles or 16 kilometres, you do a bad first kilometre, you're like, OK, I can pull back some of that time. Or my own experience of, say, doing the half marathon was I got caught up in the excitement, went out very fast, faster than I intended. But I thought, OK, I've banked that time. I can slow down a bit later. And I know in my head, kind of calculating my times, I'll still get my time, even if I slow down a lot.
Yeah, there's scope for readjusting based on what's happened on the road for you, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's kind of a slower pace than your under pressure 5K, which is nice. And then built into that is all your training around it. You've more training, longer runs, which tend to be in a lot of the clubs with a group of people. So you're having a chat. How often do you get, I know as a mother of young children, a chat with my friend for an hour and a half with no distractions? Like, it's fabulous, actually, the training for all these longer races.
How do you find your mind space when you're on the longer runs then? Some people have complained that they find they get bored almost. Other people say it's a great place to get into mentally. How is it for you?
I know for training, I really enjoy it because I try not to go on my own, to go along with a friend. Hi, Lisa Murphy. I try to go out with a friend and have the chats and get that time. I do find it challenging, but I suppose I'm a bit of a novice to the longer runs racing them. I do find it challenging kind of more mentally than physically because I get to a point and I start going in my head, God, maybe I can't do this.
Okay,
But I think that will come with experience and racing more of those longer distances.
Not to project a reality onto you, Dermot, but would it be fair to say you've a bit more experience in the long distance running? And can you speak to that changing dynamic from your first few to really knowing what you're dealing with every time you go out in those long distances?
Absolutely, David. I think every time you run a longer race, a marathon or a half marathon, you learn something. You tweak something, you improve. You're looking at your nutrition during the race, what fluids you're taking on, what food, your gels you're taking on and when, and how to regulate that. Something as practical as loo breaks beforehand and getting yourself organized with your kit and your gear, you become a bit more adept to getting yourself organized for the race, every one you do. So I've completed 6 marathons, and I every year I'm finding I'm just a little less nervous every time because you get used to the system and the flow and the time you need to get yourself together.
There are 4 races in the Buildmore Offaly Endurance Series for 2024. It's the Aisling Murphy 4-miler, Jack Cox 10K, Frank Kilran, I beg your pardon, Frank Kilran 10-mile, and the Bordnamona Tullamore Harriers half marathon. You must compete in all 4 races to qualify for individual over series awards, overall series awards. There's age categories: senior, over 40, over 45, over 50, over 60 and over 70. The first event is the Aisling Murphy 4-miler. And guys, obviously, this is a special race for all those from not just around Tullamore, from around the county and the region. Did you both run in it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Mairead, what was your recollection of your experience running in that race?
I have run it the last 2 years, and it really is kind of a very poignant event, and it's organised so well, and there's traditional musicians playing at each mile along the route.
Oh, that's really special.
Yeah, it's really just fabulous, and you really remember Aisling every step along the way and why you're there. So I think it's a lovely way to remember her.
Dermot, your recollection of that race then?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so well organised, as Mairead said. What I find really nice is that the family, Aisling's family, are there 2 to 4. Aisling's mum usually runs it. I know she ran it last year anyway. So that's really, really nice to see. It is indeed very poignant. And just if it's anything that the athletics community can do to support the family, I think we should do it. And it's a lovely thing. It brings runners from all over the country. It's a very, very famous race. And kudos to Offaly Athletics for taking it on.
Yeah, hopefully it can continue to be a kind of institution on the running calendar. Then right through the kind of the peak of the summer, the race is hosted in Kilcormac and Eden Derry, race 2 and 3 in this endurance series. And Mairead, at this point, as you said, you're building up through the distances. So you must be developing confidence if you're relatively new to the distance running that you are getting through these races.
Yeah, it's a building up confidence all the time. And that's kind of just getting in the routine of doing these longer distances, and even trying to go like the 10K feels much more achievable now that I know I have done 16 and 18 several times.
And it all finishes up with the Bord na Mona, Tullamore, Harriers half marathon. And I'm right in saying, Dermot Shumway, that this was upgraded to a Leinster and National Championship half marathon just the last year. So it has that extra special significance going forward now.
Yes, that was the case last year, David. Now, I can't say for certain if it's the same.
Okay, yeah,
this year.
Fair enough.
It is the same. Yeah. You're okay.
Oh, so, good stuff.
But last year, definitely, yeah, it features the Leinster Half Marathon Championship.
Did that swell the field? Did you notice that? Or is it just, I suppose, the elite runners are being drawn to that, so there aren't that many of them ultimately?
It's hard to say if there was a huge increase anyway, because it's so well attended. Mm. You will, as you say, get the elite runners from all over Ireland and Leinster to take part anyway. And then when you add that dimension, they will come over when you add the Leinster half marathon aspect to it. So, but it's a sellout every year anyway. So it's just a huge attraction to become involved in.
Great way to finish up the summer, a great way to finish up that particular series. And it has what I think is the best thing about running, and it's what got me into running. I remember standing on the street of a crossroad when the Dublin Marathon was going by, and I noticed everyone was just cheering people on. They didn't know them, you know?
2 years ago, I had just joined the club that year, and I went in. I knew loads of club mates were going to do the half marathon, and I went in with my children, and we found a nice flat wall to sit on and cheer everyone on, and it was electric. The atmosphere was amazing. And that's when I said, I am not cheering on next year. I am running this next year.
It is. It's great. It just gives you that little boost, Dermot, doesn't it? When someone you've never seen, met or known at all just tells you, you're doing great. Keep going.
It's amazing. You couldn't comprehend the buzz, the push you get from even a two-year-old or three-year-old clapping their hands for you and saying, come on. And their mum and dad waving the high five, it really gives you such a lift, especially in the longer races when you might be flagging towards the end. It's such a help to hear your name, or you know, if your name is visible on your race singlet or on your number, to hear it called, it gives you such a lift.
If you want to get involved in either the Healthy Offaly 5K Road Race Series or indeed the Build More Offaly Endurance Series this year, you can contact Offaly Athletics at info@offalyathletics.ie or find them on Facebook or indeed through your own club if you're a part of any of those Offaly clubs hosting the 5K Road Race Series or indeed the Endurance Series races. There will be links and plenty of advice to get involved. I want to thank both Mairead Scally and Dermot Egan for joining us in the studio, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, David.
There's been around 1.7 million cases of COVID in Ireland since it landed on these shores 4 years ago. 1 in 10 cases lead to long COVID. Trinity researchers have made a telling discovery about brain fog. A Westmeath doctor who's had long COVID and experienced brain fog joins us next.
Health and fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, where relaxation meets rejuvenation. Find out more at midlandsparkhotel.com. Midlands
103. For many of us, we feel that COVID is a distant and relatively haunting memory. But for many doctors and those studying medicine, it offers the opportunity to learn a lot more about how the human body behaved under the duress of the virus and what clues it might provide for future medicine and treatment. Dr. Deirdre Ford of Cala Medical in Athlone joins us as a new study by a team in Trinity has discovered one or two interesting findings about brain fog, which was maybe anecdotal initially, but has been proven to affect blood vessels in the brain. Deirdre, thanks for taking our call. I'll ask you first to tell us, in your practice, when the pandemic began to take hold, when did you realise that COVID was behaving differently to something like influenza?
So, hi, David, how are you? So I discovered it was probably March of 2020, about 3 weeks into the pandemic before we had the very first lockdown. And it was from my own personal experience when I was due to go into work in the GP practice that I worked in. And I phoned in and I said, I'm absolutely floored. I can't get out of bed. I feel so unwell. And the GP partner that I was working with said, oh, it's probably influenza A. And I said, this is not flu. I've never had anything like this before. And I said, do remember there is a thing called COVID going around. So that was the first time, you know, we sort of said, gosh, maybe it is starting to circulate, you know, differently to flu. But I knew this was completely different to flu.
Let's talk about brain fog then. When you're dealing with patients, how prevalent was this particular symptom?
The brain fog, not initially. We didn't really see an awful lot of that. I would have said it would have been more in the acute phase. You know, it was the fever, it was the loss of smell, the loss of taste, shortness of breath. Brain fog didn't seem to be a thing, I suppose, if you want to call it that way, because we were just seeing patients who got COVID and then they were sort of recovering, and we weren't seeing patients coming back again and again, you know, within a couple of weeks saying, I'm still not well. So we were just assuming that they had gotten over the virus and that they were fine. But then we were starting to see a cohort of people. Now, it seems to be women. Now, coincidentally, obviously, you know, the women then that were coming back seemed to be women of the menopause age. And that's why when they were setting up, because we couldn't differentiate then between, well, what's causing all of this? So when they were setting up the COVID respiratory clinics, especially in the UK, and I remember seeing a study about this, they actually had a menopause doctor or somebody with menopause experience to try and see was there something different there, you know. But we didn't know an awful lot, only that brain fog now seemed to be a thing with COVID.
And specifically, as you've detailed there, it's one of the symptoms of long COVID, and this seems to have affected approximately 10% of COVID patients, as it were, which ultimately is a vast number of people in this country, Deirdre.
It is, and again, I'm just going to talk about just briefly before we go on to that study.
Sure.
When I got my second COVID infection, would have been in September 2022. I was in the States, and I was actually very sick that time. I couldn't get home. I was too unwell to fly home, and I was probably COVID positive even when I was on the plane, but I had to get home. But I do remember, and it was the first time that I said, this is different, and my brain fog was so bad. For about 3 weeks, I really thought that I was going, I thought I needed an MRI scan because I really didn't know what was going on. But I definitely had brain fog at that stage, which improved over time, but, you know, need to work on it. But
just before you go on with the long the study and the long COVID, you've just touched on your experience there. And it would be remiss of me not to ask you to talk me through what brain fog was for you, how it felt and what it meant. You said there, you alluded to a degree of confusion or difficulty processing things, but brain fog for you, what were the things that were happening to you?
It would have been when I'd be in the middle of a conversation with my patient and I'd look blankly at her and she'd look blankly at me and she'd say, you know, are you confused? Or I just said, I just can't seem to focus, and I just can't seem to concentrate. And then I said, I'm looking for a word, and she'd have to help me find the word. That's the way it went with me.
It's incredible.
It was, I have to tell you, it was very scary, because I really thought, you know, I didn't know that there was association, but I really thought that there was something really going wrong with my brain, that I was going to have to see somebody about it. And I think anytime I got the COVID, I knew when I was getting COVID, because I had a kind of an aura. It was kind of like a warning sign. Never got the headache, but I got this awful stabbing pain in the back of my head, like somebody was stabbing me with a knife. And when I used to get that, I knew I was about to get COVID.
Wow.
And even after that second episode of COVID with the brain fog, I had a lingering, it was like trigeminal neuralgia. The right side of my face, it was stabbing pain that went on and off, probably for about 6 months. So it's eventually burnt itself out now. And funny enough, I was just looking up the research on this too. That is associated with COVID.
Okay.
By general neuralgia. Yeah.
And I think important to underline another thing you said there is that you've gotten better over time. So anyone listening who's gone through almost, I think it's like 200 symptoms that have been associated with long COVID since it's been studied, can hopefully take a degree of hope and encouragement if they've not experienced it so far, that the expectation is that these symptoms will wear away over time. The study into COVID has produced findings around brain fog. It's a team of scientists led by the Smurfit Institute of Genetics in Trinity's School of Genetics and Microbiology. And in relation to brain fog, the material reality here is that it's not anecdotal or bespoke. It's blood vessels are going through, our blood vessels are ultimately damaged in the brain, and that is leading to this symptom.
That's right. So what they've discovered was that there's actually an issue with the blood-brain barrier, that it's not actually functioning properly in patients who got long COVID. And they did MRI studies on patients who had brain fog, but plus COVID, and then patients who didn't have COVID and brain fog, but they found that the blood vessels were actually leaking. So the integrity of the blood vessel was actually compromised, basically. I suppose it's good to see that we've got this, because now they can look at it further and see are there any biomarkers that they can actually use, maybe to see is there some way of repairing the blood-brain barrier, and you know, look at further ways of the research that this has produced to see if it can help any other conditions that have been initiated by a virus.
And this is what these studies and what scientific research is so good at doing, is that it targets maybe a particular symptom or a particular illness with a particular motivation behind it. But sometimes the unscripted discovery can lead to unexpected dividends across a range of illnesses then.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So if you consider, like, there's so many viral illnesses out there that have a neurological impact. You know, there's a you've got the Guillain-Barré syndrome, okay, so that's actually the virus that can actually cause a neurological issue after getting, say, a flu, or in rare cases, after getting the flu vaccine, you can get Guillain-Barré. Then you've got, say, MS, multiple sclerosis, which they sometimes think is a viral component that triggers the whole pathology of that, so you could look at maybe how can this research, you know, help with that maybe? And is there a blood-brain barrier issue there too? So it is very good to have all of this.
Then finally, Deirdre, a question about what you've seen and experienced in your practice since, I suppose, restrictions are lifted, general immunity is where it needs to be for COVID. How do you think we're handling the fallout then, people with long COVID, the aftershock of it all, on reflection? Where do you think this country stands with something like COVID?
I have only maybe in my own practice, I certainly have, you know, because I deal a lot with women, as you know, David. So I definitely have three women who have long COVID without a shadow of a doubt. And it's not menopause related. Absolutely. But
sure.
I think we're still aware of it. The GPs are definitely very much aware of it. And we're not just sort of forgetting about the lessons we learned in the pandemic. So while it's still circulating there, and people are, I think they're aware that it's still around, and they're being responsible, and that's the way it's going as far as I can see.
There's something joyous about dancing. Add into the mix dedicated and passionate children, a caring and talented teacher, and All-Ireland success, and your cup will be overflowing. Stay with us.
Health and fitness with the newly refurbished Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club. Refresh your fitness journey with dedicated personal trainers on hand to help you achieve your goals. Find out more at MidlandsParkHotel.com. Midlands
103. For our next piece on health and fitness, I am delighted to welcome Shauna Coffey back onto the programme. If regular listeners remember, we went to the Leinster School of Dance in Moat, and Chloe Farrell and Shauna got me to go through my pace. Fantastic girls who are dancing for the Leinster School of Dance there. It was a brilliant experience, really, really educational in terms of the kind of physical demands and the agility required and all of the training and practice that goes into it. I'm very glad to say that Shauna Coffey is us on Health and Fitness once again. Shauna's the owner and principal of the Leinster School of Dance. Thanks for joining us on the programme again, Shauna.
Thank you so much for having me, David. It's an absolute pleasure to be back chatting to you.
Not at all. So the reason you're sitting down with us talking again is because there's a School of Dance. There was an All-Ireland Finals Championships in Belfast, and the Leinster School of Dance came away with some fantastic success. You might tell us what happened.
Yes, we're absolutely delighted to announce that we have a couple of winners from Moat. So the girls had to go through various qualified rounds, and they had to score really high marks to make the final up in Belfast. So they did that competition in October. And then we were waiting on the results to see if they got through. And luckily we did. So we had five girls from Moat. So we had Abby Evans, Emily Bannon, Amira Reynolds. We had Cuiva and Saoirse Moran go up last weekend to Belfast. And we came away with three winners. So we had a first place winner, Emily Bannon, who came first in lyrical dance under 12. In the All-Irelands. And then we had a second place winner, Amira Reynolds, who came second under 12s in jazz in that category. And then we also had a second place winner in under 14s lyrical dance, and that was Cuiva Moran. So we were thrilled.
That's absolutely fantastic. It sounds like, Shauna, that to get to this stage was a huge achievement in and of itself. So it must have been a fantastic journey for the girls to be on, for preparing for the kind of competitions and judgments to get into the final itself. And then I imagine the nerves and the excitement must have been next level heading up to Belfast.
Yeah, it was a crazy journey. The girls worked super hard. They were in training, you know, a couple of days a week, and then practicing at home and having one-to-one sessions with myself and putting the hours in and, you know, taking corrections. I had a professional dancer come down from Dublin. I had her do a little bit of coaching as well with them to give them another perspective of somebody else. So they had a lot of intense training, and they put the work in and they got the rewards. The two other girls, Saoirse Moran and Abby Evans, got highly commended. So they didn't place, but they still got recognised for their efforts. So I was really impressed. Everyone's nerves, including my own, were crazy, but there was so much of excitement and buzz, and they were against like 500 other competitors from the UK and Ireland. So it's absolutely amazing that they even got to the qualifying round, you know, but to come home with rewards was amazing.
Yeah, and at a formative stage in your life when you can have such an achievement, that confidence can stay with you as you go into early adulthood and adolescence, where we know we all go through such a tumultuous time. This is like a suit of armor for them in a way.
It is, and it's a really good learning curve for them to know that if you do put the effort into something, you will get the rewards. And I think it for them, it was the confidence to get up on that huge stage, like this massive stage in Belfast, in front of these three like judges, a whole audience, and their parents, their family, and all these other competitors in the wings looking at them. You know, there's a lot of pressure, and they were able to do that, and they should be so proud of themselves for even getting up on stage. It's an amazing achievement, you know.
Yeah, it is really fantastic. And I'm just thinking back to when we were in motion, we paid you a visit. I remember kind of seeing how receptive the girls are to feedback. That must be a culture that you have to try foster in that space, so that when they're learning, they're doing it eagerly. And that must make a huge difference then when preparing for competition.
It is. They want to work hard. They want to be corrected. They want to have feedback on what they can do to make themselves better dancers. And it's amazing to see their enthusiasm and their energy. And it brings so much joy for me as a teacher to go in and be like, right, guys, this is what we're doing today. And they're so excited, you know. And what I try to do is I create a lot of positivity in the classroom. I have, you know, it's very, when I criticize, I'm never criticizing someone personally. It's just to make them better as a dancer. And they know that. And I always explain it to them. I'm like, guys, I'm being tough today. I'm pushing you today. And they're like, fair enough, Shauna, fair enough. So it's nice to know that they want to learn as much as I want to teach. And that's what makes it a winning combination, in my opinion.
For you personally, then, you know, this school of dance is your responsibility, it's your venture, but also you've invested, I'm sure, emotion into the people, into the likes of Emily, Amira, Quiva, Abby, Saoirse, and all the girls who dance in the school. So when you see them benefit, when you see them flourish and enjoy it and succeed ultimately, that must have a dual effect, kind of, as someone who runs a dance school, knowing that this is good for the school and personally knowing that this is good for people you care about.
Of course, I was an emotional wreck. As I said, it felt like I was going up five times to dance on the stage. I was side of stage and I was, you know, I swear I was like at a football match rather than a dance competition, because this is my passion. And I love teaching the girls and the boys in Leinster School of Dance. Yeah. And, you know, it's bringing my love of dance to others and getting to know the kids and coming in and they're telling you, oh, I had a bad day at school today. And being that person, the soundboard for their problems, and to be the person that can, you know, pick them up and bring them back to life and bring the joy back into them. And it's really, really, really therapeutic for me as well. You know, it's amazing for the kids.
Yeah, and I hope when you're talking to them again that both myself and Chloe pass on our congratulations, because we're absolutely,
I will, of course,
made up for them.
They'll be delighted.
Yeah.
They will be delighted.
And look, hopefully some point in the future we can get them back on as well, because I know...
Of course.
Obviously, they're busy getting educated as we talk, which is fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah.
You guys have got plenty going on in the school all the time, but I understand there's going to be some St. Patrick's Day involvement for the School of Dance.
Yes, so this is going to be our second year in the Moat Parade. So we'll be performing at
Brilliant.
That. We'll have our senior acro students perform a piece, and we'll have the whole school walking and dancing. So it's really, really good. We're also going to have our end of year show in June coming up, and a few more competitions. So it's very exciting, very exciting.
And the end of year shows, I know, are big as well. Is there anything you can tell us about it at the moment, or do you guys start preparation for it, or when do you start focusing on that?
Yeah, we have started preparation already since January. And
wow.
Our theme this year is movies to musicals.
Cool.
So we'll be kind of looking at different soundtracks of movies and like James Bond and stuff. So it's very exciting. Planning and getting costumes ready and ordering costumes, and you know, it's really fun. And the kids, like especially the senior girls, they loved being involved in the planning and, you know, getting really creative with different ideas, and it's so nice having them coming up to me and being like, oh, Shauna, have you thought about this, or could you do this, or have you tried this? And I'm like, oh, that's a really good idea. And it's really good that they're involved just as much as me, you know.
A final point is that I think a lot of people who get involved in dance would say that it's fantastic exercise. It's an expressive exercise. So it kind of fulfills the soul and the body in some ways. You've been on the ground in the Midlands and beyond teaching people to dance. Where do you feel dancing in this country is at? Is it something that culturally we're coming back to, or we're moving away from? What's your feelings about it?
Well, after the weekend, I think dance in young people is alive and kicking, and we're putting Ireland on the map for all types of classical and lyrical dance. And it's absolutely amazing. It's so good for your body. You know, the girls are as fit as fiddles. They're, you know, they train their flexibility, their strength. We do a lot of core work.
And that's going to stand to them in years to come as well, you know, with posture and their alignment. And, you know, it's really good foundation as well for their mental health. So I think, you know, dancing is the best kind of exercise there is.
Well, all I'll say to that is keep up the good work to you, Shauna, and of course
I will try
to all the girls who had some great success in Belfast at the All-Ireland final, and everyone else who's attending the school. Keep us posted as things go along, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
That's our lot for another week. Keep pursuing what gives you health and what makes you feel fit. Power to you, and thanks for joining me.